it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Now Perisic looking to float that cross into Martinez. And Vecino hammers it home. And Inter have the lead inside the opening 3 minutes of the derby. Can he put Inter 3-1 up? Donnarumma waits. Martinez! It's Inter's night at San Siro. Kept his nerve. And the two-goal advantage is restored. And it is bedlam amongst the away fans.
And welcome to another episode of the Serpents of Inter podcast. It is our 10th episode, so I'm not sure if that's necessarily a milestone, but I'll take it. So it is our 10th. Joining me from Sweden, freshly cut and clean, is Saman Poor. You didn't think I was not going to let that out, right? I mean, come on. You didn't think I was going to let that go. I mean,
yeah,
you had to know something was happening there, right?
You're going to post that picture too, right?
I'm going to put that picture up on Twitter later of a freshly cleaned Saman Poor. Sam, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. We are in the midst of the international break, so it's the ho-hum doldrums and boredom of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Actually, the next week, rather. But I think we will get through it, and especially after Sunday, this past Sunday, I think Inter fans are breathing a much bigger sigh of relief. As the Derby della Madonnina was probably one of the most exciting derbies of recent memory. It was a great affair. I mean, even if you're an AC Milan fan, I think even the Derby was extremely fun to watch. It was back and forth. Both teams seemed to be playing up to their maximum. I think a lot of people wrote Inter off here because. Of all the issues and injuries and things like that the team was facing, but in the end, the Martinez penalty in the second half won the match. But all in all, Sam, I think you have to agree this was a very, very good derby to watch.
Boy, was I wrong! The last episode, I concluded like, okay, we're gonna win, but I was more in terms of, you know, it's gonna be like a 1-0, maybe 1-1 or 2-1 or something like that. But all in all, like we played very convincingly and we actually took it pretty good. But as I stated last episode, like if they play Bakayoko, Gattuso is probably approaching this game a little bit more defensively. And as you saw, like it was a little bit too defensive maybe for them. They couldn't hold on to the central of the pitch. That's where we shine. Amongst everything else, but I think that was the key part of why we won the game is because Vecino had an amazing game. He played like in a number 10 kind of role. He was offensive mezzala in a sense, so that worked out very well because he always went on the second wave, so he put a lot of pressure on their defense. I think that Politano had an amazing game. He deserves a lot of props for the game he did. D'Ambrosio did an amazing game. And as I told you last week, Piontek ain't gonna do shit.
And see, I knew it was gonna happen. I knew you were gonna say something about Piontek and the fact that he was so ineffective in this match. I knew that was coming. But I think that's a huge thing to bear in mind is that you know, one of the leading scorers in Europe was silent, had absolutely no activity whatsoever, struggled the entire match, and I think that's a sole credit to the midfield for Inter, and I think it's a sole credit to the defense of Inter.
Yeah,
I mean, I mean, what a play. I think all the players that you expected to step up did, and yep. even a player like Vecino. I mean, my question after that match was, where has this been? I think this is the potential I think we all expected from Vecino, but we hadn't really seen it in a consistent manner. And here we saw it, and I'm just like, can we see more of this? I want to see more of this type of play from Matias Vecino.
You know, the thing is that if you approach that game like now, in hindsight, like looking at it right now, you see that the reason some of these players actually shined was because the game was very open. Like, it wasn't so close. The problems we have is when teams play very defensively, they close shop. So they close shop to the point where we can't do anything, because the problem is that most of the players that we have, they like open spaces, because they move like diagonally a lot. So for a player like Vecino who got a lot of space to run, and with his size, I think it was a match made in heaven, more or less, because this is the type of game he probably likes a lot. But the problem with Vecino is that he's not technical enough to do the good passes, or you know, hold the ball in a technical way, and so forth. So, I mean, I think that, and another thing that is good to know about Vecino is that I hope that Spalletti takes a lesson for this, because it actually shows that Vecino is more of a, he's kind of a light Pogba in a sense. And please don't take it out of proportion. What I mean is that he's a physically pretty big dude, but he's a bit better in the offensive side of the game. So he should probably play with less defensive responsibilities. I think that the problem we have is that in the defensive side of the midfield, Brozovic takes, you know, he carries so much that the players around him, like, they're not good enough to do that. Nainggolan is the only player that can do that better than he does. But the problem is that Spalletti plays him so high up on the pitch that you lose some of that dynamic play that Nainggolan is notorious for. So if I was Spalletti, in the sense, if I'm going to play those Brozovic, Vecino, and Nainggolan, I would probably look on how to make it a more flat, like a three center midfield, instead of like pushing Nainggolan forward and Vecino down the pitch, so they can be a bit more dynamic, so both of them can go and fall when they need to, something a bit more organic like that. And I think the best player on the pitch, you know, there's not one single player, but I think that Lautaro Martinez did a tremendous job. The way he moved on the pitch, the way he opened up the pitch for other players was something to really lift up, because you got this Diego Milito type of vibe from him, where he's not the type of striker who probably will like do 30 goals a season, but he's the type of player that will contribute in the entire game. Like, he will open up space for other players. He will probably do a little bit more assists because he's good. He's much better technically than Icardi is. But I think that if he continues on this path, he will probably be a more complete forward than Icardi is, because you can see like how he plays now, how he carries the ball, how he lets the ball go, how he moves on the pitch. So I want to highlight that. I want to highlight De Vrij, because he always gets in the shadow of Skriniar, because De Vrij did a great job today also. So there's a lot to be said about that. And D'Ambrosio saved Inter in the last second of the game as well, which is balls.
Falling in front of the ball like the way he did. Was something that, again, I think we saw a lot of things in the Derby that we've been waiting to see for a long time. And I think, patience has paid off. With Vecino, I think you're right. I think maybe we have, I don't know if he's a true trick Cortista.
But
I think he's very comfortable in that kind of a role. Now, whether he could be a dominant trick Cortista is a different story. I have to agree. Lautaro Martinez really shines. Stefan De Vrij, Milan Skriniar played very effectively. Matteo Politano was very
Absolutely.
Good. And even for a lack of getting your name called a lot, I think Ivan Perisic also
did
very well. It did very well on his wing side, and so it was altogether a team effort. The win pushed Inter back into third. They're 2 points clear of Milan. They're points clear of Lazio and Roma and Atalanta. But this by no means, I think we've got to be very, very careful here. This by no means sets up Inter to automatically have a Champions League spot, because now the Nerazzurri will move into a very difficult part of their schedule.
Yes.
After the international break, you've got Lazio on March 31st, Genoa, who is dangerous to be certain, on April 3rd, April 7th with Atalanta. Frosinone, you know, I tease about the powerhouse that is Frosinone, but again, you know, Inter seems to shine in matches that they're not supposed to win, but they also let down in matches they are supposed to win.
That's the problem.
And Frosinone is a match that they should win without any question whatsoever. But, you know, with this team the way it's been, I don't think that's a certain. And then following that, you've got Roma. So we still haven't played the second halves of Napoli, of Juventus. You know, so we still have a very difficult road ahead of us to secure a top four finish, and it is by no means guaranteed at this point, because there's a lot of things that can happen over the next couple over the next several weeks. And now that Inter can focus squarely on Serie A, now that they're out of the Europa League and don't have
That's
to worry about
that.
It is, but you know, again, I don't think we can rest back on our laurels and think, oh well, good, now we're in and all is well, and Icardi's back training and he'll be available for Lazio and all things are now right with the world. That's not the case. So I think we have to be very, very cautious. We have to have cautious optimism in terms of what we can look ahead. Now, one of my questions here is with this derby win, has Spalletti, you know, sealed himself up for another season at the helm of Inter?
No, I think that regardless of us like finishing third or fourth, it doesn't really matter, because I think that, as I stated before, like that's done and dealt with. I think that until next season, because here's the thing, Spalletti has done actually. I'm not one of those who say that. Everything that Spalletti has done is negative. He has done a lot of good things also, but I think that if we're going to take the next step, we need a coach that is a bit better, a bit more seasoned, maybe have a bit better type of play, because we probably need a coach that can tweak some of these players to the next step. Someone like Skriniar, you know, he has the potential of probably being like top two, top three center backs in the world, because he's so complete in a sense. De Vrij is an amazing player now that Godin more or less is done. And someone like Brozovic and Lautaro Martinez, all of these players, for them to take the next step, they need someone that would take them to the next step, because you don't want to be put in a position where, again, like your coach gets questioned by the players. Because I think the problem that Inter has had, or one of the problems that Inter has had for some years now, is that the players, something like Chelsea, actually, the players have some type of authority in the dressing room, to the point where they actually can dictate who's coaching and who's not. And that can be a very big problem. So I think that they need someone with much more character. So, and I'm not going to speculate who that's going to be or why or when or something like that. But I think that all in all, I think that Spalletti most likely will leave after the season. And hopefully we will take in a coach that has a bit bigger name in a sense, like someone that has more wins under the belt. So someone that is a winner. I think that I don't think that Spalletti will remain. I think that there is some things that needs to change, and one of those things is Spalletti, because with all the chaos that has been in Inter for the last month, so now Spalletti is one of the key figures in that also, because I have a problem with the coach who always goes out in the media and talks about things and like creates new fires in a sense. So I don't think that's helpful for a team like Inter, especially in a sensitive position that we are in right now. Like, sure, Icardi is back in training. Nainggolan is probably going to be fit. Keita Balde is going to get more fit and so on and so forth. So we have like an upswing. And I don't think it helps when you have a coach that has said so much negative things about a player. You know, keep that private. You know, keep that in the dressing room. Keep that in between the player and the coaching staff and the management and all that. I don't need to hear that because it doesn't help me, because I'm an Inter fan. I just want the players to perform and do well. So, no, I think that Spalletti is going to get... I don't know if he's going to get fired, but he probably will leave himself, or Marotta is going to sack him. So I think that's a done deal. I think that's destined to happen regardless of how it goes. Even if we finish second, something spectacular happens and we win every game, and people like Napoli and loses a lot of games, I think it doesn't matter. Like, it's done and dealt with. I even think that Icardi is likely to leave as well. I think the damage is too big for him to stay at this point.
All right, we're going to talk more about players and things like that in the second segment, but it is the international break, and there has been some international matches played so far. Just kind of run down UEFA European qualifying. Bulgaria and Montenegro drew 1-1, Turkey over Albania 2-0, Iceland beating Andorra 2-0, yes. England pasting the Czech Republic 5-0 off of a triple from Raheem Sterling. Luxembourg with a 2-1 win, France easily 4-1, Portugal drawing with Ukraine is a bit interesting, a 0-0 draw there. On the friendly side, Colombia beating Japan 1-0, South Korea 1-0 win. Matias Vecino playing about an hour in Uruguay's 3-0 win over Uzbekistan, and I'm going to skip over one, I'll come back to it, but Peru, a 1-0 winner. Then we have Mexico, a 3-1 winner over Chile. And then there's CONCACAF, which I'll get into. Well, actually, I probably won't. But probably the big one in terms of international qualifying. By the way, Italy will play on Saturday, Saturday yes. afternoon. Your Sweden squad is at halftime as we record. They are up 2-0. In case you're wondering, Ireland, Gibraltar are tied at 0. For whatever that is worth. But really the big thing here would have to be in South America, Venezuela getting 3 goals and beating Argentina 3-1. Of course, the bright spot here, Lautaro Martinez did get the only goal for Argentina. And honestly, his chemistry with Lionel Messi actually looked very good at times. But you had an Argentina squad that's under a caretaker coach that seemed somewhat discombobulated. Throughout the entire match, the first goal in the 6th minute was just sick, just disturbing to watch if you're an Argentina fan. Former Inter man Jason Murillo scores in the 44th minute for Venezuela, and then Martinez closes it out. Lautaro Martinez gets a goal in the, gets a goal in the 59th minute for Argentina, but it was all for naught as Venezuela beat Argentina. I did, and it actually, you know, like I said, I think it speaks to Martinez and his strength and his mobility. I think the way he plays, even on the international level, is something that to take note of. And I think Inter is extremely lucky to have pulled him from racing the way they did. Now they can really lock in and focus on the development of this player of Lautaro Martinez. I think what's key here is now, in order for him to flourish on the domestic side, in Serie A, I think, and I mentioned this in a piece I wrote this week on serpentsofmatadena.com, that I think he needs a partnership. And what he needs is a player that can come in and help and groom him. He's only 21 years old. He's got a lot of play left. He's got a lot of potential left. But I think one thing he's missing is the one on-field player that can coach him the way that a coach like a Spalletti or a Mourinho or a Conte or a Simeone really can't. And that is to kind of really show him what it's like to be a top quality striker, either in Serie A or in Europe. And I mentioned that that's probably something that Inter should probably take a look at when they're looking in the offseason for transfers to bolster up their attack, is who can they bring in? You don't want someone who's too young. You don't want another 20, 21, 22 year old. But then again, you don't really want a 33, 34, 35 year old. You want someone who's kind of in the middle of that mix, who has some pedigree, who has both domestic and international experience, and has the ability to show Lautaro Martinez, okay, you're good, but here's how you can be better, and let me show you who can really take him under his wing. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of options out there. I think even though Paulo Dybala with Juventus is only 25, I think he can be who could be that. I think Edin Dzeko is another possibility. I think Romelu Lukaku at Manchester United is one who could also show him those types of things. And these are all candidates that are all going to be open and ready to possibly move in the summer transfer window. And if Icardi leaves, and I agree, I think it's likely that he does. I think there's a lot of bad blood here. I think if Spalletti goes, there might be discussion on Icardi staying, but
I don't think it's going to happen anyway.
I tell you what, I think it's going to depend a lot on the crowd reaction at the Giuseppe Meazza on the 31st when he comes out and plays against Lazio.
Maybe.
I think you're going to see a lot of fan sentiment, and are they happy to see him, or are they just quite honestly just disgusted with him and are just tired of the drama and the BS, and is it time to move on?
Probably. Here's the thing. You touched on a few points that I really, really like. So first of all, when it comes to Lautaro Martinez, I do agree a lot. You know, again, if I'm going to compare him to an Inter player that plays a bit similar to him, it's Diego Milito. And if you look when Diego Milito thrived, he had a player like Samuel Eto'o beside him. So regardless of Eto'o and Milito being in the same age or not, like Eto'o was in a sense a bigger player. He came directly from Barcelona and won everything with Barcelona, and you know, he was in a sense the star attacking player, but with his experience and his character and the way he carried himself, in a sense, I think that helped Milito a bit. But I think that so I agree with you on that. I think that if Lautaro Martinez gets a player like Milito had Eto'o, and I'm not taking away anything from Milito, I think that Milito was destined to be a great player regardless, but I think that Eto'o actually helped a lot in that. I think that Lautaro Martinez could use something like that, a player like that, you know, someone that has that ability. So I do agree a lot with that. I think that I don't think that Perisic is that player, because Perisic is a little bit too bipolar and too egoistic in some terms for me. So I don't think that he always plays for the team, in a sense. He you know, he shows a lot of good character in a way that he can run, but you know, sometimes you get a feeling that, you know, it's something that isn't right there. So I do agree with that. And when it comes to the problem is with Icardi is that regardless of him, like, people forget very fast if he starts scoring again. You know, people jump on the Icardi wagon again, but you know, but let's not be prisoner of the moment and like take it as it is. So Icardi has done a lot of good things for the club. You know, he has saved us and he has stayed with us when we went through a lot of bad times. He could easily have left a few years back. You know, nobody could blame him because he was better than everyone in the team by far. But I think it's regardless of like people forgetting, I think that it's going to be very polarizing for him when he plays his first game. That's my, I think so. I think that people won't receive him too good. And I think that the best way to like get him in the smoothest way possible is to like maybe take him in when we are on the upswing. Like, let Martinez start and you can probably take him in and let him finish it off in a sense. I don't know, but Spalletti staying or not staying, I think that I'm with you. I think that it's highly likely that he will leave. If he doesn't, sure, you know, maybe Marotta can solve this with him and so on and so forth. And the new coach brings new energy. Let's not take that out of calculation. But I think that it's likely that Perisic will leave, Spalletti will leave, and Icardi will probably leave. I think that that's. I hope that Candreva will leave also. I don't see any positive upswing there either. But you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, in football, things swing fast. You know, from one day to another, you can have a whole different story. And as I stated, like people forget. Like if Icardi performs very well and he does like 10 goals in the remaining games, and he beats Juve. He's a match. He scores the winner against Juve, and you know, and all, everything, you know, does a lot of good games. Who knows? Maybe he will get the contract that he wants, and he will be happy and pray. And who knows? But one thing I can say for sure, I don't think he will be a captain anytime soon.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, I think so. I think that one of the key things here is that can Icardi accept that he's not going to be. If I was in the management team, I wouldn't even like him to be a captain, because that's, you know, in a sense, that shows weakness from the management team. If you take away his captaincy in the middle of the season, in a very, very difficult period for Inter, and you know, he stops playing, and all of a sudden you're giving it back, like, why did you go through all that? You know, I don't see that. So I think that one of the things that would not happen is that he will probably not be a captain. And for me, I see that as a positive thing. I think that Icardi needs to like focus on what he does best, and you know, build on that to begin with.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about potential outgoings and incomings in the summer. We asked a fan question and got a lot of great response. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. You are listening to the Serpents of Inter podcast. I'm Matt Clark. He's Sam Poore. And we will be right back after this with more on the Serpents of Inter podcast. And welcome back here to the Serpents of Inter podcast. I'm Matt Clark. He is Sam Poore. And we've talked quite a bit about the Derby. International break is here. But kind of switching gears a little bit, we've touched on players like Icardi and even Luciano Spalletti and Ivan Perisic, and whether they stay or whether they go coming up in the summer transfer window. But one thing I wanted to do, and I did this via the last episode and on Twitter, is I asked, you know, if you could be realistic, and I mean realistic, because let's be honest, yes, Inter will probably be clear of financial fair play issues, but does that mean that Suning is going to go out and splash cash? No, it doesn't. They're not going to be kicking up PSG money or Real Madrid money or even Barcelona money. It's still going to be, I think, relatively conservative in terms of spending in the summer transfer window. But that said, there are going to be holes to fill, the central midfield being one, the attack being the other. Maybe some backup on defense is going to be key as well. So what I asked is if you could pick five players to bring in to Inter next season, who would they be, under the proviso that they are realistic? Don't tell me Messi. Don't tell me Ronaldo. Don't tell me Salah or Firmino or anyone like that, because those aren't really realistic. So let's be realistic. And the responses we got were actually, you know, pretty impressive. I'll run down a few of them. I'm not going to get to all of them, and I apologize for that. But I will tell you the ones that I did get. One of the most common ones was Barella.
Yes.
Darmian was another.
Yes.
There were a few that suggested that even we keep Cedric from Southampton, although I don't see that happening. Another Hector Herrera was an interesting name. Enrico Chisia was another one. Alessandro Bastoni, even Edison. Yeah, Edison Cavani was another one.
No.
Zappa Costa in the midfield. Balote was another. Obviously Godin is about a done deal. I even had someone suggest not Messi, not Mbappe, not Griezmann, not Modric, and not Rakitic. So they told me who they didn't want. Didn't tell me who they did want. Let's see, another one that was Barella, Lazari, Kessié, Palacios, Darmian, Dybala Icardi swap, which is also on the table apparently. You know, so a lot of great response, but I guess I'll ask you, Sam, you know, if you've got five players you can pick, and understanding what their market value is, understanding what their transfer fee would likely be, and being realistic within the confines of Suning, not just handing over an open purse to Beppe Marotta and Piero Asilio. Who would you go after? Who are the five players you would bring in?
That's a good one. Actually, so let's start with Diego Godin, because he's a boss man deal. So I don't know if we can include him in a... Here's the thing.
I would say no. I think because he is pretty much a done deal with him, I would say he would not be one of the five you could pick because the deal's already done. I think that's a given. What I'm looking for is a hypothetical. If then this, I mean, Godin is probably going to happen more likely than not. So let's take him off the table and let's look at the squad that we have now. Who goes and then who do you bring in? And if you want to provide some rationale as to why, then feel free.
Okay. So in the defense, I think that Ranocchia is going to get a new contract because, they basically confirmed it by saying that he will get a new contract because of his profession. He's a very professional and he has good character and so on and so forth. So he's probably going to stay. I think that Miranda is destined to leave as well. I see that happening, especially with Godin coming in. I think that Cedric is destined to leave as well after the loan period. Here's the thing. I actually would like for us to sell Vecino, because having Vecino actually for us means that we will have to play him. And I think that if someone like Maurizio Sarri, if he wants him for Chelsea, now Chelsea has a transfer. I think they got punished from UEFA, so they can't take in any new players for a year or two. But
I think they're appealing that. I'm not really sure where that stands, but yes.
Okay, so I hope that we will get rid of Vecino, but I think that Borja could be a better player to have on the bench than Vecino, just for the reason that he has a better technical ability. He can pass the ball better. He's very slow, I understand that, but my personal opinion is that Borja he's a better bench player, and he probably will accept sitting on the bench a lot. So Vecino, I hope that he will leave. I hope that Candreva will leave also. And Perisic, I think that he's destined to leave as well. Maybe he will say, but I think that a player that has put in so many transfer requests as Perisic has already done, I see a problem in that. And my personal opinion is that someone like Perisic should be sold. Icardi is another player that I think that is more likely that he will leave than he will stay, but that's my personal opinion. Let's see now. I think that Dalbert is another player that I think that if we can cash in on him a little bit, I don't think we will get so much from him, or we can go break even on him. I think that would be a good thing to look at. I don't like Danilo D'Ambrosio, but I think that he will actually be a good player to have because he can play right back, left back, and he can play like in a three defensive, three-man defense. So I think that he's a good player to have in the squad. So I hate saying this because I really don't like D'Ambrosio, but I think that he will make more sense if he stays than if he goes, because replacing him can be a bit difficult for the squad in a sense, because you need the depth. It makes no sense for us to buy like 2-3 very good world-class players, but we get rid of like 5-6, and now we're in the same situation. If one of them gets injured, then we are screwed. So I think that having a little bit of depth doesn't hurt us. So I will actually keep a player like D'Ambrosio. In terms of, excuse me, who will come, I look at it more of how much do we have to spend. So regardless of Godin coming in as a free transfer or not, there is no such thing as coming in for free. He will have a fee, and he will have a pretty hefty fee because he comes as a bossman. So he will probably get a good salary and a good his agent will probably get a good commission as well. But if that aside, I think that Nicola Barella is a player to look out for. I don't think that he will be a key player for taking the next step, because like Lautaro Martinez, he's very young. So I think that putting that type of pressure on him, it's it's not the best thing to do. You know, some players are destined for greatness, you know, regardless of them being 20 or 30, doesn't matter. Someone like Messi or Verratti, you know, they've always been good players in their respective positions. But I think that Barella is a player that has a good chance for coming to Inter. I think that Darmian is another one that I've been looking at. Here's the thing. Darmian isn't like, if you're going to play, if you're going to buy a right back or a left back, I would probably look at someone that it has a bit more better attributes, in a sense, like they're better offensively, like they have better passing fees or whatever. Like Darmian is a slightly better version, according to me, than D'Ambrosio is. So I don't see like the upswing in Darmian compared to someone like D'Ambrosio. I will focus a lot on the central midfield. So for me, a player like Rakitic is very, it's likely, you know, it's reasonable because he will probably not cost as much as some people might think, because I think that Barcelona might be interested in offloading him because of their transfers. They will probably bring in someone like Luke de Jong, and they have players like Arthur and Busquets, and all these players need playing time. So I think that he's too good for sitting on a bench or being a rotation player. He's a world-class midfielder. So I think that Rakitic is another player that is possible for us. Sergej Milinkovic-Savic, or also known as SMS, from Lazio. That's a tricky one, because Sergej have recently started to play good again, but I don't know if he's that good as he was the first season. He has the tools to be a world-class midfielder, but I don't know. I have a feeling that his mentality isn't always like on par with his talent. So that could be a little bit tricky for someone like me. I'd rather take someone like someone that has doesn't have the world-class peaks, but has a very low. I'd rather have someone who's a bit more stable. In a sense, like if you my thing is, I love players like Zanetti, in a sense, because they're not the best players on the pitch, but they're never the worst either. Like they are static in their form. I like those types of players because they will actually perform year around. So I don't know about that, and I think that he will be very, very expensive. At least I can see like 60, 70 million, and I don't know if that's the most rational thing to do. Who knows? And here's the thing. Nobody actually has commented on this, but Bayern Munich is looking to rejuvenate their team, and they actually need to do that as well. So they will probably look for new players. And I don't know if Lewandowski is one of the players they're looking to offload. You know, if we sell someone like Icardi, Lewandowski is a world-class forward. He probably... if he does a bad job, he will probably score like 20 goals anyway. So I will look at someone like Lewandowski. He will probably cost a lot of money, but that could be a thing for us to look at. And another thing, but this is a very big if and but. I don't think that will happen. But if Napoli is looking for new players and want to offload some players, I will push very hard for someone like Zielinski. Zielinski is very similar to Jorginho, who used to play in Napoli. I think that he's an amazing, amazing player, and I see a lot of potential in that player. And I think that he will do a tremendous job in a team like Inter. So my conclusion is that. And also, if we play with a three-man defense, I think that Bastoni is very important for us, because right now we have Skriniar and De Vrij, and Godin is coming, and Ranocchi is getting a new contract, and we probably need someone like Bastoni, because playing with three central defenders, you will need to like rotate here and there. Plus, we're probably going to play in three competitions next year, and we'll probably go very hard all of them. So I think that reasonable thing to do is to bring back a center back like Bastoni. Bastoni has a lot of potential. He has great talent. He has shown very good. He has been very good in Parma. So all in all, I think that Barella, Rakitic, Bastoni.
You mentioned Lewandowski.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I will end it on a high, very, very, very unlikely, but a very high note. I would say Lewandowski, just to round it off.
No, that's fine. Well, here's what I want to go through position by position and tell you first off who I think is out. I'll start with the goalkeeper, and I think we're in good shape there. I think that Samir Handanovic has some time left. We have a nice backup in the young Brazilian that we brought over, who's now on loan, I believe. Yeah, yes. who's got a tremendous potential. I think Tommaso Berni is going to have to retire at some point, just because you can only go so often being the tackling dummy on the field, and he's about there. But Danielle Padelli, I think we'll stay on as a backup for a while, but I think one of those two will probably have to go to free up a little bit of space. On defense, obviously Sami Vyshalko is going to go back to Atletico. I don't think there's any way, Inter redeems him in any way, shape, or form. Miranda is out. I think the writing is on the wall there. And if that's the case, I think one thing Inter needs to do and Interisti need to do is thank him for his service and what he's done for this team. If he goes back to a Flamengo or he goes back to South America, which I think is where he's going to go, I don't think that's a bad move. Diego Godin is obviously going to come in. Stefan de Vrij is going to stay. Kwadwo Asamoah is going to stay, but Kwadwo Asamoah is getting up in years a little bit. Granted, years on defense aren't necessarily the same as years on offense. So I think Asamoah has a couple years to go. The key here is going to be Milan Skriniar. Now, interestingly enough, news has come out that there's been a lot of potential poaching of Milan Skriniar to try to get him to go to Spain and to play for either Barca or Real Madrid. And his agent has basically told other agents, stay away. One part of me wants to take this as a good sign to suggest that Skriniar is very happy with Inter and will stay. Another part of me is kind of hesitant in thinking that maybe this agent just wants the commission for himself and that there's a deal possibly to be made by sending Skriniar out for a $50 to $100 million payout for Inter. I don't know. I'd like to think at this point in time that Skriniar is going to stay. I think he truly loves playing in Italy. I think he truly loves playing for Inter. So I would like to hope that Inter management come together and decide, okay, we need to get this kid a contract. We need to pay him $4 million per year and go from there. Because I think he's worth it. Moving to the midfield, this is where it's a complete disaster and anything can happen anywhere. I think Borja Valero is probably going to go. I think while I think he's stable, I don't think he fits the team mentality. I think he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but he's getting up in age. And I think you're going to see a bit of a youth movement here for Inter. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of older players go by the wayside in lieu for a lot of either developing youth players or younger solid talent so that this team can build moving forward, not necessarily move for right now, but move for the future. So I think Borja Valero is probably going to go. I think Matheus Vecino is probably going to stay. I don't see a lot of interest in him at this point in going other places. I don't see an interest in teams paying a $25 to $35 million transfer fee to get him to come in right now just because he's so inconsistent. Now, two or three seasons down the road, that may change. But I think at this point in time, that answer is no. I think Andrea Ranocchia, who can be defense or midfield, depending on how you look at it, I think he will stay. He will get a new contract, and I think justifiably so. João Mário, this is an enigma wrapped up in a puzzle at this point. I think he would go, but I think Inter is going to be very locked in on how much they want for him, which means he'll probably stay because I don't see many teams wanting to pony up money for a player who is just not proven himself at all. So I think João Mário, interesting enough, is probably going to stay. Then you've got, who am I missing? I'm missing several players. I'm probably going to backtrack a little bit. Matheus Vecino, he's going to stay. Gagliardini is probably going to stay. I think Gagliardini has much more upside than he does downside. I think what he lacks is time to show it. I think if he got the right coach in or if he got the right opportunity, I think Gagliardini could definitely show his worth. And plus, I mean, we're not paying him a king's ransom here, so it isn't as if we have to cut cap space like you do in the NFL or anything like that. So I think keeping Gagliardini is definitely worthwhile. Then Dalbert. I think Dalbert you probably cut loose. I think it was an interesting experiment to start. I just don't see it paying off to fruition at this point. D'Ambrosio, I agree with you. Don't really like him as a guy, but as a player, I think he's got the best interest of the shirt in mind. So I think you probably keep him. Keita Balde, I think you try to renegotiate, and I think you try to redeem get him. A lower fee and redeem him, simply because I do agree. I think Mauro Icardi is out. So you're going to need more options. Politano, you keep. Martinez, you keep. With Ivan Perisic, honestly, I think he's going to stay. And I think he's going to stay because I think he sees what potential can be. I think there's been too many ups and downs between he and Manchester United, he and Arsenal. I think if he goes anywhere, I think he goes to England. But I just don't know that happens. So I think you're so with that all said, I think Perisic will probably stay at least another season. A lot of that could hinge on who the coach is next season. I think with a coach like Conte, I think he stays. With a coach like insert any other name here, I think he might try to go. Because again, I still think that the way this team is going to be built for the future is going to depend on who its manager is. And if it's not Luciano Spalletti, and I don't think it is, then I think you've got to bring in a coach that has the ability to dictate who he wants. And I think a coach like Conte or Simeone or someone like that is going to want to have say over who they have. They're gonna want control, like Liverpool, where the manager does have a good amount of say in what players that he wants. And we see that prove to be a good fit because you see where Liverpool's at right now. Pep Guardiola does the same thing at Manchester City. It's not transfer by committee. It's transfer by, okay, here's what the manager says he needs. Let's go out and try to get it for him. If it's not necessarily the name, let's see if we can find someone who could fit the bill in the same position. And I don't think you can do that until you have more solid footing in terms of who the manager is going to be and who that manager is going to be for the foreseeable future. If it's Conte, then I can tell you right now, Conte is going to want say. He's not going to want to make any player moves, whether going or coming, until he is firmly set in bringing his staff to Milan. And I think the same would go for a Diego Simeone. I think even Jose Mourinho, with as unlikely as that is and should be, I still think that is something that the team is going to have to respect. However, I think that there are some things that are just kind of no kidding type moves to make, such as getting rid of Dalbert, trying to redeem Keita Balde, parting ways with Mauro Icardi, go ahead and seeing João Miranda off back to South America. Not redeeming Sime Vrsaljko, I think, is another one that, I mean, these are kind of no brainer type things that I think even as fans, we can say, okay, yeah, that makes logical sense no matter who the coach is. However, I think the big challenge comes into, okay, who do you bring in? That's where the coach is going to have a say. And depending on the type of style that we're going to run, and I would like to think that the style that Inter is going to run is going to be an aggressive attacking style. I think that's the identity of this team. I think that's been the identity of this team for a long time now, and I think we've lost sight of that. Or we've lost sight of having players who can fulfill that role. So with that said, I think Nicolò Barella is definitely, someone that Inter should be looking at from Cagliari. I think in terms of who you bring in an attack, honestly, I like Romelu Lukaku. I do. I don't know why I do, but I do. I think that he's got the right mentality. I think that he's got the right amount of experience. He's not, he's not so old that he's set in his ways, but he's not too young to where he thinks he owns the world. I think what he has done with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United at the helm has been tremendous. And I think he needs an opportunity to get out from under the shadow of Paul Pogba. And I think in order to do that, he needs to come to a squad like Inter. He comes relatively inexpensive. I mean, we're talking about probably 25 to 30 million euro. So this is not a break the bank type of a situation that Inter is going to have to push a lot of money out to get a quality name in. I like Paulo Dybala, and as much as I would love to see Paulo Dybala in an Inter shirt, I just don't think a swap for Icardi is a smart move here. First off, I just don't know that Beppe Marotta wants to be the one who shipped Icardi off to a league rival. I think if you want to ship off Icardi, I think you ship him off to somewhere else outside of the country. I think if Real Madrid want him, I say Real Madrid can have him. I think that would be a great move for him. I think maybe Icardi could flourish under Zinedine Zidane. I think he would come into a situation where he could make an immediate impact. I think he could make the money that he wants. I think he could have the stability that he thinks he needs. Whereas I just don't, I just don't think it's feasible. I'm not a big fan of selling potential quality players to league rivals. I just don't, I don't like that. I just think that leaves a very bad taste in my mouth. I think, you know, doing that sets a very negative tone, and I don't like to see it. So I would much rather see a Romelu Lukaku come in as an attacking option than a Paulo Dybala, simply because I don't want to see Icardi go to Juventus. I just don't think that. And honestly, with Ronaldo and what else they have at Juventus, I just don't see Icardi being that man that he thinks he needs to be at Juventus, at least not right now. I think maybe when Ronaldo retires, then maybe. But I think Ronaldo's three or four seasons away from calling it quits, if even that short of time. So I think if he wants to go, he wants to flourish. He wants to be, you know, the big man on campus. He wants to potentially wear the captain's armband. He wants to make an immediate impact, and he wants to make a lot of money. I think a place like Real Madrid is a place he should go. I don't think it's England, because I don't think Icardi can play English-style football. I think he can play Spanish-style football, and I think he would probably do well at Real Madrid. So with that said, like I said, as much as I would love to have Paulo Dybala play, because I think he's got a wealth of potential, and I think he's got a wealth of possibility, and I think if you put that kid on the field, he is dangerous. He is dangerous, and he has the possibility to be a world-class player, and I think missing out on that is tough. But I think if it comes at the cost of sending Icardi to Juventus, I almost think that's too much of a cost to bear. I could be wrong. Can I ask you a question? Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So in this case, in this scenario, who do you think has a biggest potential? Look at it as a two-way. Who do you think has the highest market value if you compare Dybala to Icardi? And who do you think has the highest potential in terms of being a player with the impact?
I think in terms of player, I think it's Dybala. I do. Okay. I think Icardi does still have a lot of formidable time left in his playing days. But I think in terms of just overall pure talent and pure potential, I think it is Paulo Dybala. Now, in terms of market value, I think they're both pretty much on even keel at this point. Yes. I think with Icardi's recent issues and things like that, his market value has dropped significantly. And I think it's going to take a wealth of solid play in the latter part of this season in order to build that value back up. Dybala, I think his value is probably going to hold, because I don't see the situation at Juventus changing anytime soon and him becoming the full-time, you know, starting striker, forward for Juventus. You know, I think they're probably pretty much in cruise control at this point and are just going to probably play not to lose rather than to play to win, because they've got their position locked up. You know, what do they have to, I mean, I think they're going to play more for the Champions League than they are going to play for Serie A, because Serie A is pretty much a lock.
So
in that regard, I just don't see a lot of potential opportunity for Dybala to come in and show and increase his market value. But right now, I think they're both pretty well even. So I think a swap, if that were the case, I think would be a fair deal on both sides. I think in the end, however, if he has the right coach at the helm, Dybala is going to be a massive talent. I just have a firm belief that Paulo Dybala has just got a wealth of talent, and it's something that cannot be overlooked. Now, whether he leaves or not, who knows? And these transfer musings are from one week they're one thing, to the next week they're something else. And today Skriniar is likely to stay. Tomorrow, oh my Lord, now he's going to go. So you know, all these things are extremely subjective in terms of of what thoughts are. But I think to me, you know, if it avoids a swap, sending Icardi to Juventus, and some people may argue to say, yeah, send Icardi to Juventus so Turin can deal with all the drama and we don't have to, and maybe that'll drag him down a little bit. And there's some viability there, but I just don't know. I don't know. You know, Icardi may only want to stay in Serie A because he's made a home in Italy. You know, that could be possible. However, both he and his wife are Argentinian. You know, they may thrive better in Madrid, just because the language barrier is not necessarily as steep, and Icardi is going to get probably get a lot of the things that he wants in terms of a potential captain's armband, to come in and play for a big club, make a wealth amount. He's going to make more money at Real Madrid than he will at Inter, that's for sure. Regardless of what other new contract structure is, even if Inter gives him $8 million a season, Real will pay him 12 or 13 yeah. or 15. Yeah. So if it's a question of money, if it's a question of stability, then Real Madrid is a place for Mario Riccardi to go. Juventus will be able to pay him, but I think Juventus has got to be very, very careful because they've already spent a ton of money on the transfer window. We just bring in Ronaldo. They have spent a ton, in addition to bringing in, the player Aaron, what's his name from Arsenal, who will come in next season on defense.
Oh, Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah, Aaron Ramsey.
The midfielder.
I think Juventus has got to be very, very careful in terms of its payroll, because just as easily as you can be out of financial fair play, you can be right back in it. And I know that Juventus has a lot of money to spend, the most money of any team in Serie A at this point, and that's great. But, I just don't know that they look at a swap favorably. Now, if we could get Dybala on outside of swapping Icardi and still selling Icardi, go for it. Go for it. That is the best situation to be in. But if a swap is the only way to get Paulo Dybala, then I think Romelu Lukaku is your guy. I think you try to go after him and try to make that work. Now, the other thing that we're leaving out, and I'm going to have to cut it short because we're approaching an hour here. But I think the one thing that we're not considering is players that are outside of Europe. We don't look at South America. Nobody looks at Asia because why? There's no one in Asia that's gonna, that's a ground pounder. So really the only other place you look at is South America. And I don't know what's there because I just don't know enough about South American football at this point to say that this is good, this is good, this is good. But let me remind you this as we close up here. Guess where Lautaro Martinez came from? He came from South America. And I think we're going to see that pay off dividends immensely. Javier Zanetti came from South America. So I think those are just things that we can't afford to overlook. It's easy to look and say, okay, all these guys from Europe, Edison Cavani, all these players, great. They'll come in and be gangbusters. But, let's not overlook the other areas of the country, of the world that we're maybe missing, like South America. So I with that, I think we're going to close up shop a little bit. I would offer a question, but we're in the international break. So I'll table that next time. We'll take a look at Lazio, which is coming up on the 31st. That's going to be a big match. We'll preview. We'll look back over some of the international break stories, some of the inter storylines, and I think we're going to do a pretty deep dive into the match coming up with Lazio. So, Sam Poor, appreciate you coming on and joining us. It was great to have you, and we'll have you come on again next time. And for Sam Poor, I'm Matt Clark. Again, for all Inter Milan news and information, make sure you check out serpentsofmadanina.com at any time. We update the site every day. This has been the Serpents of Inter podcast, part of the SB Nation Network. For Sam Poor, I am Matt Clark, and Forza Inter.
Forza Inter.
Il gioco di gambe, guadagna al fondo, il cross, e gol, 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 Dambro, Dambro, Dambro. Palla ancora dentro l'area di rigore, c'è un mischione, Nainggolan, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol. Il ninja! Jump, 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 jump! Al 32!
The Serpents of Inter podcast is brought to you on the SB Nation Network. For more information and to check out all Inter Milan news all the time, make sure to log on to serpentsofmadanina.com.